The undead are ruining my life. I blame my mother. My mother is a medium. And I don't mean the kind that fits in between small and large. My mother is your basic incense-burning, Indian skirt-wearing vegetarian who happens to see and interact with dead people. You cannot imagine the humiliation this causes me, being the junior high newbie that I am. Because here's the thing. Like my Uncle Steve, who thinks it's okay to ask me all about the boys in my class, the dead have major boundary issues. When the dead are earthbound and confused and channeling their anger into ordinary household objects, they're not really interested in confining their activities to the attention of the person summoning them. No, all those delightful supernatural activities that happen in movies, abrupt temperature changes, ear-splitting sounds, and other spirit-induced phenomena, affect everyone unfortunate enough to be living in the house, namely, me. I could put my foot down, I guess. I could tell my mother she is ruining my life, scarring me emotionally during my crucial early adolescent years, and virtually guaranteeing that I have years of therapy ahead of me. I could tell her those things. I could demand that she put aside who she is for the next 5 or 10 years, get a little MTV literate, read an issue of Cosmo every now and then, and basically get with the decade. I could ask her to leave the dead alone, to just ignore their pleas. And knowing her, she'd probably try. But that's the problem, knowing her. This is the same mother who proclaims a bossing day once a year, when I get to be in charge and ask for ice cream sundaes for breakfast. I'm allowed to take control of the remote, go shopping for no reason, or watch the latest Orlando Bloom movie twice in the actual movie theater with buttered popcorn and candy. This is the same mother who knows the difference between a bad day and a devastating day, who knows exactly how to rub my feet to make the rest of me feel better, who knows the perfect temperature for a bubble bath. The same mother who knows when not to ask how I am. The same mother who let me take a mental health day and skip school in second grade after a note I intended for one girl ended up in the hands of the boy it was written about. You see my problem. This is not a mother who should really change. She's kind of great the way she is. It's the world of junior high that needs to change. But the last time I looked out the window, it was the same old world, both at school and outside of it. And in the same old world, having a mother who is an Olympic class magnet for supernatural activity is uncool. And being uncool can ruin a person's life, especially when that someone doesn't happen to be all that cool to begin with. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's more important for me to be cool than to support my mom. It's just that I kind of want both. Last month, my teacher assigned Shoshana Longbarrow as my research partner for our Hoover Dam Social Studies project. I'd been living in Medford for more than a year, and Shoshana had never so much as acknowledged me with a hey. Still, I knew that she was the girl to know. A seat at her lunch table was the holy grail of middle school life. I had never been granted one. So you can imagine my surprise when Shoshana Longbarrow addressed me in person the same day we were assigned to work together. And it was like we'd been casually chatting for years. "So I hear you're like this total straight-A student or something. I guess you've pretty much got this Hoover Dam thing all figured out?" she asked. And I knew, because we were the only two people in the room, and only my mother talks to people who aren't there, that Shoshana Longbarrow was talking to me.
"I guess," I said.
I affected a neutral look while my mind worked furiously. I did have a rap as a good student. I'd done my best to disguise the extent of my good grades, because nobody wants to hang out with a 4.0 girl. But apparently the word had gotten out anyway. And it was no secret that Shoshana frequently pronounced good grades useless, probably because she got so few of them herself. Shoshana definitely had the immaculately groomed look of a girl who needed big-time help with her social studies project research. I figured that maybe this was the break I needed to finally getting good with Shoshana.
"Whatevs," Shoshana said, shrugging.
And like the announcer on a TV commercial, a voice in my head screamed, "Act now! Don't delay! Limited supplies available! Operator standing by!"
"I can show you what I've got so far so you don't have to do the same work again," I said.
Shoshana stuck her hand out, palm down. If she'd been one of my mother's friends, I would have guessed she was preparing for a tarot card reading or harnessing the energy of Mother Earth. Was this some kind of elite hand signal?
"Your address," Shoshana commanded. "Write it down."
I obeyed, temporarily tattooing the back of her hand with my street digits.
"I'll be there right after school," Shoshana told me.
And that is how, after months of being invisible, last May I suddenly found Shoshana Longbarrow at my house.